Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisory firm. Price Financial Group has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investment and retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations may vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial program with a certified financial planner, estate planning attorney, and a certified public accountant to answer your questions for free. Got a tough real estate tax or financial problem keeping you up at night? Ask your questions free at InvestingSimplifiedRadio.com. That's InvestingSimplifiedRadio.com. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Bo Caldwell.
We do Investing Simplified.
Welcome into Investing Simplified. However you're listening today, thank you for making us a part of your day. As a reminder, we do replay the show every week on our website as well as InvestingSimplifiedRadio.com. And you can find us on podcast form as well, wherever you get your podcasts. So thank you for listening. Thanks for tuning in. And with me in studio today, I'm Bo Caldwell, CEO of Price Financial Group. We've got our Chief Investment Officer, Matt May, in with
Hello.
Me. And we also have our newest addition to the team, folks, and I'm really excited to introduce this gentleman. It's been a long time coming. We've been working with him to get him to come and join the team to provide that value for our clients. And it's Matt Sudol. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Welcome, Matt.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Now it's your first time on radio. How are you feeling? You feeling ready? You feeling pumped, jazzed?
I am as ready as I can be.
You look full of information, sir, if I may say so myself.
It does appear that he is full of information, ready to answer your questions. So, you know, Matt, I'd like to introduce you to kind of the folks so they can get to know you, a voice that they're going to hear coming up as we go along. And you came to us from a long time at Wells Fargo. But you want to tell maybe a little bit about yourself, a little bit about, you know, what you got going on?
Yeah, thanks, Bo. Yeah, I've spent the last 10 plus years in the financial services industry, and it's been a great ride. Initially, I got interested by finances and such back in college. I started taking engineering classes out of all things, but the finance has kind of been one of the things I've always really appreciated. And as I started working for the bank, I had the opportunity to learn a little bit every single day at work. And so that pulled me in, and I ended up switching majors and getting my finance degree. And a lot of people say the rest is history, but you know, you get sucked into the vortex of personal finance and budgeting and investments, and it's been phenomenal. So I had a great run, and I hope to continue here with Price Financial. So I'm very excited to be part of the team.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. I tell you,
absolutely.
We've been talking for quite a while. Just the added value that folks are going to get when they come in and meet with us. And this is not a sales pitch just for Matt here, but we're pumped and excited to have you on. And so, you know, it just gives you an idea, folks who are listening out there, the kind of breadth of service that we're looking to provide you. So if you're looking for that review of your situation, and now, you know, if you're looking for your investments, looking for your insurance, your risk management, for your banking, your mortgage questions, if you have questions about how to get the most out of your banking relationship or your mortgage relationship, you know, Matt has extensive experience there, not to pigeonhole you just into those specific areas. But if you want to give us a call, 503-253-3000, one of our team will sit down with you and kind of go over that situation. So Matt, I know you've been listening to the show, and you know, you've been a friend of the show and friend of ours for quite a while, but we do like to start the show with kind of a market update, see where we are, see where we're sitting in the overall markets. And I know you've had extensive experience. You've been an investor for a long time and helping folks looking out there. What are you seeing? What are you feeling like is coming in the market? We're putting you on the spot here. I put it's very confusing for everybody listening. I keep saying just Matt, because there's two of you that are Matt.
But
I'm pointing at them as I say.
If I just go quiet, then the other Matt can take the question. you know, I think that's a very good question, and the crystal ball, we should start bringing in here into the studio so we can take a look at what it's saying. It's tough to tell. I think the last week we had a couple of up days, a couple of down days. The market's digesting a lot of information, I think, yeah. with the election behind us and a lot of the vaccine news coming out. I think, I don't know if I told Matt yet, but I was listening to the news the other day, and it looks pretty promising to where maybe by, I believe it was June is the date that somebody threw out there, anybody that would like to get vaccinated will get vaccinated. So, you know, we've been in this for, you know, 6 months, 9 months, seems like forever. And there may be a light at the end of the tunnel where at some point we may be able to go out without the mask and just see family and meet at a restaurant and do some of the things that we're all excited about. So there's been a lot of that's been driving the market, I think, you know. So, and Matt can speak to it more because obviously he's our chief investment officer.
So. Yeah.
Well, so we all have eyes on it. So just to back up a little bit, I just wanted to add my two cents about having you on board. I think when Bo and I were talking about our long-term vision, we had a specified level of service that we wanted to provide. And we also merged our two practices, the Price Financial Group side with the Price Financial Group Wealth Management side, to all become one company underneath one roof. And that was a giant undertaking, and it has made us grow faster than we expected. And so we want to not just provide the same level of service, we wanted to increase our level of service and at the same time be able to serve and grow, serve more people and grow. So having you on board will, I know for sure, facilitate that.
Well, and you know, I know he's coming with lots of good ideas. He's, you know, over the, since basically he's been listening to the show ever since, you know, I came on and started working with Chuck here, you know, a couple of years ago and started taking over the show. And when I first got started, he'd be listening and texting me, you know, while while the show is going on, saying, hey, talk about this, or hey, what about that sort of deal. So I know he's got lots of info to get out to the folks.
Yeah, this was just not an overnight decision. He has been with us in the background on the sidelines longer than you can possibly know. It's been quite a while.
Yeah, we've been trying to get him to come on. So, you know, it's always good when you're getting recruited hard. It's like being a D1 potential athlete, right? When people are coming after you. But so what do you
think? I was not an athlete. I don't know what that means.
I think Matt's dodging the market question.
I know, right? Oh, are you afraid of the market question?
No, come on. Actually, I was digging through. So I follow JP Morgan's Guide to the Markets. Every quarter they release, it's something like 80 slides in this Guide to the Markets, which you can look it up online. Just go to, just in Google, search for JP Morgan Guide to the Markets. And it has a bunch of just really, really in-depth slides. And each one takes me anywhere from like a minute and a half to 4 or 5 minutes to digest, because it's not necessarily simple information. It's something that is usually compiled by the smartest people on the planet. And it takes me a little while to figure out, okay, this blue line is doing this and that red line is doing that. And what are all these 917 dots doing? And it takes me a little while to figure out, but eventually, you know, it sinks in. And a couple of them really stood out to me. When I'm looking at valuations, like, is the stock market expensive? Is the stock market cheap? Regardless of what else is going on out there, COVID, politics, whatever is the news of the day, we look at valuations and we look at historical valuations, meaning for every dollar that you're spending in the stock market, how many dollars of earnings are there? So that typical multiple is somewhere around the low 16 mark. So for every $16 of price that you pay in the S&P 500, you're getting $1 of earnings. So we're well above 20. Probably about 22 or higher on that multiple. And that says expensive. Anytime the market is this expensive, so that multiple being where we're at, 22 plus, on a forward-looking basis, on a forward-looking, like looking out at the next 1 year, the average one-year return is barely above flat. And the average annual return over the next 5 years is barely above flat. But interestingly enough, they have all the times in market history where the market is this expensive. It's the market returns are either much, much higher than where they are now or much, much lower. there's no dots that said, hey, the market's this expensive and the returns are 1%. It's either plus 12%, plus 14%, plus 9%, or minus 15%, minus 14%, minus 11%. There's almost no dots like right at the 0 or 1% return.
So we're not thinking necessarily sideways, thinking either maybe, I mean, who knows?
Who knows, right? Yeah. This is only looking at, like we say, past performance is not indicative of future results. So we have to take that with a grain of salt. But, you know, it is some sort of guide that says when markets are this expensive, something might be happening in the next 5 years.
Right. And you just want to make sure that you're prepared for it, right? We're not on here making a bear market call or that the market is topping or now's the time to short the market. You know, we're not saying anything of the sort. Or
it really could go either way. It could melt upwards or melt downwards or just grind sideways.
It could go any of those ways.
As Matt said, you know, bring the crystal ball in. I think mine dropped and fell in middle February.
It fell and broke.
Right before COVID hit, it just broke. And it's like, it hasn't said anything since.
Yeah, well, I've still got Chuck's old crystal ball there on the desk.
And
it hasn't worked in a while. So, you know, we can blame him for the crystal ball not working. He's not
Say
here.
Say something.
He's not here to defend himself. So we can blame him, although I think he might find it funny. But, you know, I was reading today, interestingly enough, you know, Matt Sudol and I were just discussing this, you know, earlier, but it's interesting you bring up valuations and the valuations of the overall market. An interesting factoid today, which I think is exciting. If you add the FANGs, which is Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google, right? If you add those together, and even without including like Microsoft, which is often included in the FANG, you know, the sort of FANGs. Yeah.
I think it's that plus Tesla.
But you throw them plus Tesla, and the valuation, you know, their valuation is more than three times Canada.
Dang.
Right? You know, so we're talking about the U.S. stock market being crazy overvalued. So, and it may not be. It could be overvalued and still get bought up higher, right? Because right now, that, you know, you're looking at, if we're looking at from a long-term perspective with the Federal Reserve continuing to keep interest rates super, super low, and I think part of that's so they can borrow more, right? So they can just keep increasing the debt, but they're keeping interest rates really, really low. Your real rate of return on bonds, right, is negative.
It's negative now.
If we're looking from a forward-looking perspective, because if you're only going to be able to earn 1%, and I don't want to get too into the minutia because people will get bored, but from a forward-looking perspective, when we're looking at building that sort of safe type return, a lot of people are looking to those dividend paying stocks that, you know, or even they're looking to the Teslas of the world or the FANG stocks for that return, because you're not getting it in traditional, you know, risk off assets.
Right. And I was reading an article today of my favorite. You'll hear me quote them from time to time, but Mr. Buffett, running Berkshire Hathaway, his company, Berkshire Hathaway, is sitting on $141
billion.
$141 billion with a B. And,
you know, cash, right?
You're of cash.
Yeah.
Yep, of cash. So what they typically do is they look for large acquisitions. They're looking for companies that they just go in and buy, but they do so with a specific process. They identify companies that are cheaply valued or below fair market value so they can buy it cheaply and then expand on it, build, you know, make it better and increase the value. And, you know, that's basically their model. They just add new businesses one after another. Typically now they haven't really made any big purchases this go around. When I say this go around, the prior one was the financial crisis, where they actually were helping the Fed by acquiring companies, troubled companies. They were out there helping keeping things afloat by buying these troubled companies and now becoming Berkshire Hathaway. This time around with COVID, they haven't really seen any companies that look attractive to them.
Valuation-wise.
Yeah,
they're not sure.
Yeah, and so for them, size is also a factor. They're so massive. With $141 billion just in cash, their business value is much, much higher than that because they own huge companies, Geico, Burlington Northern, Santa Fe, Train Lines, Heinz, a bunch of others, huge companies. that a $1 billion deal or a $2 billion deal that sounds big to us doesn't even move their needle.
it sounds big here. You know, before we take a break here, I'm gonna put out a fact that folks can use once we're allowed to have cocktail parties again, right? But we need a cocktail party sort of knowledge. Just interesting for the fact of you say billion with a B, and I feel like we've been so desensitized to the word billion because we think about the national debt in trillions.
Mm-hmm.
But with $1 billion, you know, and we think about these guys that are billionaires, right? If you were to spend a dollar a second, and to spend $1 billion, how long do you think that would take?
Dollar a second.
I think
23 years?
Just under 32 years.
All right.
Wow. If you spent a dollar every second, it would take you just under 32 years to spend $1 billion. Berkshire Hathaway is sitting on 160 of that.
Yeah.
In cash. That's crazy. No, they're not spending a dollar a minute, right? They're spending billions at a time.
Like a $9 billion or a $14 billion acquisition. But they just haven't. They're a cash cow. They have so much cash piling up. They generate a lot of cash flow and they don't pay a dividend, which is really ironic because Warren Buffett loves dividend paying companies. But right. The company that he runs, he's 90 years old. They're talking about who is going to take over for him. That's, you know, kind of his biggest, you know, kind of future looking objective is to make sure that his successors are set up for success. So, you know, they're just looking for the next company, the next acquisition. So it's challenging for them. And I follow that because if they don't see any value out there, it just makes me pause and say, what does look attractive? So then couple that with our handy guide to the markets from JP Morgan, and they go through not just U.S. companies, but they also go through international companies, small, medium, large companies, that's their size. And then we've talked about it, but value and growth companies and anywhere in between, every single one is higher than their average multiple. Like every single asset class is higher than their average long-term multiple, meaning more expensive than they've been in the past on average.
Right.
But every single one.
Right. And then it gets really hard to find something that is of good value or find something that you find less expensive, but at the same time, it keeps going up. So it can be really hard to navigate out there by yourself, figuring out which companies to buy, which indexes to buy, which ways to invest your money. And we really always come back to the plan, right? We always come back to risk in your plan and making sure that everything's built out for you. So if you've been out there looking for good opportunities, thinking, what do I need to buy in my portfolio? What do I need to get rid of in my portfolio? We are happy to do that review for you. We'll go over your portfolio, tell you where you are risk-wise. We'll give you a 3,000-foot view of your overall plan, what your work optional, not retirement, your work optional plan looks like, and see how that might look if we were to take over for you. And we're happy to do that for free for all of our radio listeners. No obligation. It's a complimentary consultation with a member of our team here around Portland. We have 4 locations easily accessible in the Portland metro area to meet with you. We're happy to do that via Zoom, or we're happy to do that via phone as well, since there's, you know, been that government order to keep out of businesses.
And we got to get Matt Sudol some work to do around here.
Yeah, he's just been sitting
he's
around.
He's just been sitting around twiddling his thumbs, waiting for us. It's like, not true. That is completely facetious.
This is the highlight of my week. This is the most work I've done. So that's cool.
Well, good. Well, so we're going to leave you with that we're obviously just lazy bones sitting around the office, but we're going to take a break here, and we'll be back with more Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement with their Social Security Seminar on Demand. Now, you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you've invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years, so shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, that can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000. We do invest-
Investing Simplified.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
And welcome back to Investing Simplified. If you're just now joining us, thanks for making us a part of your day. If you are just now joining us, you have yet to meet Matt Sudol, our newest addition here at Price Financial Group, joins us from a long history in banking and finance. And you were just mentioning, you know, last segment about your background and what you've learned with, you know, finances and things. But I'm sure you've come across a lot of questions, you know, in your time that folks ask you about how to, you know, how to manage things. You mentioned in the break a couple of questions that you've been, you know, wanting to pose to us so that, because they're listener type questions.
Bring them up on the air. Absolutely. You know, I was saying my dad, he's not a finance professional by any means. He's a long haul truck driver. So, he's got a 401k that's been doing, it's been doing okay. It's a kind of a balanced mix, but he's been asking me, you know, every Friday. I actually set him up where he gets an email each Friday from the company with the balance of his 401k. Sure. Just like an update. No, my dad's pretty technology, you know, technology is not his forte, but he does okay. He figured out his email on his phone now. And so he gets the emails each.
That's the first step.
I know. Yeah. Well, he's texting too now and everything. So shout out to dad if he's listening. He might be. So anyway, so he's asking me, he gets these emails and it, you know, it goes from, you know, a certain amount, a little bit up and then a little bit more. And then we have a pullback. And then so that's when he panics and calls me and says, hey, Matt, what's going on? I don't want to lose money. I want to be able to just go up in the market. So questions, you know, and Matt was before the break, you were talking about, you know, valuations are high and there's a lot of uncertainty. And, you know, year by year, there's going to be it's going to be very hard to predict what's going to happen. You know, you kind of have to take a step back and think about the longer term. What are the long term goals? But what would you suggest a person does with their 401k? You know, if it's just had a tragic drop in March and then it's rallied back some and then it's kind of been flat, do you stick with it? Do you change?
It really does depend on the person. I think for a 401k, if you're actively adding to it every single month, that makes a big difference. Because say we get one of those February, March drops again. Hopefully, if you're still saving for retirement, you go through as many of those as possible, because the market was down 34%. And anything that you put in on the bottom March 23rd is up something like 50 or 60%.
Right. The dollars that you put in
on March 23rd, if you timed it perfectly, yeah, is up like 61%. Something crazy. Yeah. In you know, 7 months, 8 months. That's pretty awesome. But, I mean, it does... We do need to look at time horizon. So if you're a 63-year-old putting money into your 401k, you probably don't want to be riding that full roller coaster like that. So I would caution against taking too much risk if you're later on in your working career. But if you're younger, you know, 40 or younger, you've got likely 20 or 25 years or more to retirement. That is a long, long time. And you should be totally focused on letting your money grow, and the growth trajectory is bumpy.
Sure. On a growth perspective. So what I'm hearing, and just to steal this segment, you didn't ask Bo, you know, that's like the Matt and Matt, and I should just change my number to change my name to Matt.
Ask the Mats.
You haven't been here long enough for the mute button.
We're going to the Mats. Take it to the mattresses.
Yeah, you don't get any mute button yet.
No mute button yet.
Yet. You got to earn that.
We got to sit on the other side of the table next time, Matt.
Put the mats. Charge. Yeah, the mats on this side with the mute button. But so what I'm hearing is, you know, if don't necessarily panic. You know, if the market is moving, don't let the market necessarily dictate the emotions of the market dictate what you're doing. Reevaluate your goals, like you said. Go back to what's your plan, what's your long-term trajectory, where are you at from a long-term perspective, right? And then
absolutely,
and then reframe it that way rather than just looking at this weekly.
Yes, too much.
It's not necessarily the best idea. I have clients that's, you know, will say, hey, I don't even look at my account until we talk. You know, they don't look at it until they talk quarterly. And not to say that's the perfect way to do it, because you should don't put your head in the sand and just set and forget. But if you're looking at it every day, you're going to drive yourself crazy.
You'll get seasick. sometimes, like on those truly volatile days, just imagine you're just riding those big waves up and down and up and down. Like we had a minus 12% day. We had a plus 10% day. Those are huge, huge swings. And if you're watching it every day, I mean, you have to, they teach you in the Navy. I'm a Navy vet, but they teach you if you start to feel like that, you focus on the horizon. You look as far away as possible and you just look at the horizon way out in the distance. That's what you focus on.
And that, I mean, that's a good, that's totally appropriate. I lit up and sort of just got excited, shimmied a little bit when you were talking about looking at the horizon. That's a great analogy, right?
Look a long ways away. And that's the time, because if you focus on the day-to-day swings, you're more apt to make bad decisions. Like, oh my gosh, it's down 12. I got to sell. And then the next day you missed a plus 10.
Right. You go to cash and then just stick with it because your emotions took over and you just couldn't handle it.
Right.
You jump out. As I think you've used this analogy. I've heard you use this on the air before, Bo, where you talk about the roller coaster ride. You don't want to be jumping off when it's moving. You definitely don't want to be doing that.
Yeah, and you got to, maybe it's a time to evaluate your roller coaster, right? I had that conversation with more than a few clients and more than a few, you know, just folks that said, "Hey, I thought my risk tolerance was higher than it is." Because they weren't, you know, they said, okay, well, this, you know, everything went down in, you know, February, March. And unless you were in cash, everything went down. Even bonds, right, went
even
down.
Bonds had a real brutal steep drop.
Steep drop.
Oil went negative, like we mentioned several shows back.
Right. That's crazy, the oil,
Minus $37 there for a hot minute.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Companies had to pay money to get rid of their oil.
Well, and you know why, right? It's because it's actually cheaper for those producers, those guys that have, and I shouldn't say just guys, it's gals, but mostly guys that are doing this drilling, and they have this drilling field, and it's cheaper, regulation and just cost-wise, to pay you to take the oil off of their hands than it is to stop production.
Right. Remember when we had the issue with the storage, right? The storage tanks and the
storage
ships.
Tanks are full. The train tanks are full. Yeah. The offshore ships are full.
Yeah. It's crazy. What do you
and it's
do?
Still coming out of the ground because it takes weeks, if not months, to get to it turn out those again. Things off.
Yeah.
And millions of dollars.
And millions of dollars. Yeah. So the hard part is, you know, making sure that you are allocated and have a diversified portfolio, because if you have that portfolio that is diversified across asset classes, if it's been built and prepped and you're ready for the roller coaster that you're going to experience, if we conceivably have these pullbacks or these drawdowns, because they are going to happen, right?
Yep.
I'm certain. I can't guarantee anything on the air. Guarantee that at some point between now and the end of time, the market will go down, and it will go down significantly, right? So, I mean, it may
even
not.
If it's the big comet, I mean, the markets go to zero. that's down.
Right. But yes.
I guess. Hopefully that's a few million years off.
The big comet. But so you want to make sure that you are reevaluating that portfolio from time to time and using these, you know, that look at it as an opportunity, right? Not as a loss. Look at this as an opportunity to say, hey, I had more at risk than I thought. I'm not able to take this kind of a risk. And most people don't know. If you haven't done a risk analysis, if you haven't stress tested your portfolio, you just don't know what's going to happen. We done stress tests on our portfolios and stressed, you know, we looked at the risk and our portfolios behaved in that downturn much, you know, not exactly like we projected, but when the market downturns like that, it's pretty darn close.
Really close, really close. And we had, you know, a good position in cash. We came in pretty conservatively positioned with the investing as a whole. Pretty much across the board, we were anywhere from 15 to 25% lower risk per target. You know, we have multiple targets that we're shooting at based on many different factors. So we probably have 15 different risk targets out there,
right,
or more. So for each risk target, their respective level of risk, we were about 15 to 25% lower risk. The way I designed it was the lower risk tolerance you had, the more we reduced your risk.
Sure.
Because if you're lower risk, if your tolerance for risk is low and we have it just at like maybe set 10% cooler than we want, you know, 10% less risk in that portfolio, and then we have an event, you're more apt to make a, you know, a bad decision.
Yeah, so a rash decision,
So we steered it to the 25% below target.
Sure.
To keep folks that were really, really low risk for their appetite, for their tolerance, you know, just super low. So if that happened, you know, it was noticeable. It was like, hey, Matt, I seem to notice my account value was down a little bit last month, but the rest of the world is like,
right? Well, you know, what I found, I was reading actually, you know, there's a significant amount of better performance from the retail investor side in February and March than there was in 08, right? Where a lot of people didn't just sell out.
Right.
Luckily enough, people maybe learned a little bit. So
I think investors learned a whole lot from the financial crisis, the Great Recession.
Right, as they call it. Yeah. So I think, you know, it's key is to review that portfolio, right? And make sure that you are checking that out, make sure that you have reviewing and stress testing over time, because if you're not rebalancing, if you just bought a 60-40 portfolio in the, you know, the 60% stock, total stock market index, 40% bonds, and you're just holding it and going, you don't realize that it probably got way out of whack before February because the stocks went crazy in a good way. And then it's got way more risk than you thought. So a lot of times we find that where people are more risky than they think or less risky than they think.
Right. And I think it's important to really just take a step back and look at why you're investing in the first place. Do you need to invest in the first
place?
Sure.
Yeah.
So typically, you know, investors, as you're saving for retirement, you're contributing to hopefully a retirement plan, saving some money on the sidelines. Rule of thumb, 15% of your income should be saved every year if you can, depending, you know, if you were late to the game to start saving, you might want to, you know, even go higher. But, you know, when you hit retirement, the goal is to have enough money to provide a predictable income stream.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Social Security was built to replace 40% of your income stream. So where does the other 60% come from? In the olden days, it was pensions. These days, pensions are few and far between, though they're still out there. The rest of it is maybe you get a retirement plan that has some sort of match, but even then, I don't see as much matching from companies as I'd like to, and it's usually like 3, 4, 5, 6%.
Right, right.
Like, ouch. So the onus is really on the worker, the employee, to save for themselves. So it's important to focus on why you're investing, because at some point, we talked about this recently, Bo, but you may want to stop working or may need to stop working because the body's no longer able. And you have to have, if you want your quality of life, if you want to be able to afford your quality of life, you have to have some sort of nest egg to draw from in addition to a 401k, maybe even a pension.
Right.
So
It's worth exploring. And, you know, in this time of, you know, end of year, you know, sort of updates, we're looking at, you know, different things, reevaluate your risk, reevaluate your portfolio, reevaluate your plans and your income stream. And if you haven't had that done, if you haven't really thought about how to turn your savings, you've done a great job of savings, you've built everything up, but now how to turn that spigot on, right? We need to release the pressure out of the balloon. If you haven't really looked at that,
it's a totally different game than the saving part.
Right, right. It's a different phase.
You got to develop your spending muscle.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's good. The spend, you got to
see, already adding things.
There's a lot of people out there that do a wonderful job of saving, and they just, when it comes to pulling the trigger on retirement and actually spending out of the bucket, it's tough for them because they just can't imagine seeing that bucket of money shrink over time.
Right.
They're used to seeing it go up. Yeah. The psychology of seeing it go down.
Right.
And just worried that it's not going to last, or that they're going to become an imposition, you know, just a burden on their
family. Yeah. They don't want to make, that's what we say. So if you want to make sure your plan is burden proof, if you want to make sure that you never have to say welcome to Walmart, or would you like fries on that when you're 80, give our office a call, 503-253-3000. We do spend a lot of time about optimizing portfolios and where to get growth and those different things. We're not here to make you rich, folks, but we're here to make sure that you never run out of money, that you can turn that retirement nest egg, what you've done such a good job saving, into something that you can flex your spending muscle. I think we might coin that phrase, flex your spending muscle. If you'd like to have that reviewed, give us a call, 503-253-3000. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Legal matters are never easy, but they are especially difficult when they involve the most important people and aspects of your life. This is Taylor Cattell, founding partner of KG Law Group. It's important to have an attorney who cares about your unique circumstances and knows how to get the outcome that is best for you. At KG Law Group, we specialize in estate planning and family law, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, guardianship, and divorce. At KG Law Group, we provide both expertise and compassion as we guide you through the complex legal landscape. We balance knowledge of the law with exemplary client service. Whether you are reacting to a crisis or planning for the future, we are here to help. If you need legal advice, give us a call today and schedule a consultation at 503-878-8948. That's 878-8948. Or visit us online at kglawgroup.com. That's kglawgroup.com, serving Oregon and Southwest Washington. KG Law Group, your family, your legacy.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. If you're just now joining us, thanks for tuning in. As a reminder, if there's a question that has been keeping you up at night, there is no stupid question, no bad question when it comes to your money, your finances, or your planning. If you have a tax question, an estate planning question, a financial question, something that has been keeping you up at night, please send that in either via email to askbo@pfgwm.com or investingsimplifiedradio.com. We'd love to hear your questions because we're happy to just sit around and chat. We're sitting across the table chatting about things that are on our mind or things that excite us, but we want to make sure we're bringing you the content that is applicable to you. And I wanted to start this last segment, fellas, with just a call to action for folks that are out there listening. As you know, it's the week before Thanksgiving. We're going to be, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up next week, and it's going to be a different Thanksgiving this year than any of us is used to, right? We have a government governor's orders in here to limit gatherings. We have this COVID crisis that's out there, so folks are going to be having a Thanksgiving that may look a little bit different this year than it has in past years, which is it is really disappointing and hard to deal with. But if you can take that and make it a positive, we were just talking, Matt Sudol, in the break about it might be a good time to sit down. Maybe you're not with family that you normally are, and maybe you're not having that one uncle or that one nephew that had a little bit too much to drink and starts an argument about, you know, religion or politics, which is, you know, one of those things that causes fights at these family dinners. But maybe you're just with your spouse, your significant other. Maybe it's just you and your parents, you know, small family gathering. But it could be a good opportunity to discuss the things that are really important, right? Things that are really important and what your goals are for your finances, because it's always a difficult conversation to start, even between family members, as we found, even between spouses. So if it's been something that you've been putting off, because it is really hard to sit down and actually plan what retirement might look like if you don't know what retirement looks like in your own mind, right? So have that conversation. Are you traveling? Are you playing more golf? You picking up a hobby? Do you want to own a boat, an RV? And it doesn't have to necessarily be retirement goal planning, but it's a really nice time at the end of the year to sit down and talk about those goals, have that conversation. What's important to you? Because you may find that you didn't know what your wife, you know, thought retirement might look like, or you may not have known what your husband thought, you know, may find out that he's planning on golfing a lot. I'm certainly planning on going to Bandon Dunes as much as I can when I retire.
It's fabulous. What I would say is I'm kind of surprised and shocked at what I see when clients retire. Like the kind of what do I do with my life now? Like work was so much of my identity. I don't have a hobby that takes up that much time. Yeah. My wife is still working or doesn't like to do the things that I'm doing, or my husband is still working or doesn't like to do the things I'm doing. It really is. I mean, some people is like, hey, I take to retirement just fine. Some people are like, I don't know what to do with my life.
Yeah. I get going stir crazy. Start a list of three hobbies. Different businesses. Yeah. Make a list of hobbies.
Make a
list
of hobbies. Yeah. I sometimes pose the question in meetings, and I ask a client, you know, if retirement happened yesterday, what would you be doing today? You know, outside of hanging out with me and across the and talking and having
well, you
a
are, about these super exciting.
You topics. Are a sparkling personality.
Yeah, right. But outside of that, you know, if we weren't having this meeting, would you be out on the golf course? Would you be maybe traveling? That's been it's been a sore subject, unfortunately, for retirees this year. A lot of cruises getting canceled, and I know people were having plans to go to different, you know, parts of the world, and unfortunately that wasn't happening. But
what a weird environment. Say you retired in 2020 the stock market is in all-time highs, and you can't go anywhere to spend it.
Yeah, or you can't. That was a really weird laugh. I apologize there, but you know, or you can't. A lot of the snowbirds,
even.
Right? A lot of the snowbirds are having trouble this year because you don't want to travel down to. I talked to several clients that are, you know, they spend half the year or maybe just 4 or 5 months, Arizona, Palm Springs. You know, maybe Florida, you know, have these folks that go and, you know, that are going down to these communities that are not really opening up because they're primarily their business comes from Canada, right?
Right. Yeah. And sometimes people will also, you know, go back to work.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I know a few people that have done that this year where they're, you know, retired, but I just don't know what to do with myself. So I'll go back part time and work just to occupy yourself because you can't travel, you can't do other things that you were planning on. So that's why you want to have a laundry list.
I did have a client that she like retired and she found herself making almost double what she was making as a government employee. She was working as a consultant after retiring and they were like, oh my gosh, we need you so much. Please come back. So they lured her in at nearly double what she was making. I mean, it's out there. Like if you're a qualified worker, you're a pretty attractive piece and a pretty attractive component to a lot of operations out there.
And then you'll have to flex your spending muscle the following year.
Right.
So just, you know, add more money to the coffers and then hopefully retire a year later. And you know, it might, if a client was kind of on the fence, what do I do in retirement? And then can I retire? Do I have enough money saved? You know, that extra 6 months, a year of savings might make him more comfortable to go ahead and pull the trigger.
That ties into one thing that we were talking about in between segments is the level of cash that's on the sidelines out there.
Yeah, that's definitely one.
I don't want to get too technical because it's
really
easy. But you
kind of did at the break time.
We did. We talked technical. It's like, ooh, I got to brush up on what is M2 monetary supply. So M2 means more than just Matt Sudol to us. We call him M2 internally because there's two Matts, M1, M2.
Or maybe because he generates a lot of monetary income.
It's really not M2. It's really M squared because he's an exponential contributor to me, the original M.
But what is M2?
M2 monetary supply. It's essentially cash on the sidelines to some degree. I don't want to expand on it too much, but it's like currency, the physical currency, dollars that are traded out there, coins, gold, physical currencies, and also savings, checking, basically available cash. It's $18.8 trillion on the sidelines right now.
So what you're saying is
from billions to trillions. We're talking trillions.
With a T.
Right. Because, there's more cash on the sidelines than even just Warren Buffett has, right?
You know,
there's a ton more.
It's a huge amount. And not just the level of cash on the sidelines that's on my mind. It's the health of the average consumer. So when we look back to 2007, one of the big reasons the market dipped so heavy, it was so far down, is that the consumer was heavily laden in debt. There was a lot of debt that consumers
had. A lot of credit cards, bad mortgages.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like, I should have 5 rentals right now. It was like so much debt. The consumer had so much debt back then, and now it's a really, really low number. It's well below average. And there's also an exorbitant amount, I would say, an exorbitant amount of cash on the sidelines, $18.81 trillion in cash on the sidelines as of the end of October.
Right.
Maybe we spend some in November. You know, holidays coming up.
So the question that I would pose that maybe it's on people's mind right now is, if I'm an individual who maybe, you know, had money invested in the market for some time now, but had cash on the sidelines throughout the entire bull market we had and maybe didn't dive in because they thought things were too evaluated. Maybe they bought a little bit in March, but, you know, what if they are still sitting on cash? You know, how do you deploy that? What are you looking for in the market to do that?
I certainly would not want to dump it all in at one time. I would prefer a strategy known as dollar cost averaging, which is plain and simply just using a little bit of money at a set interval. Like maybe we have $50,000 on the sidelines, but I wouldn't want to put that in all at once. I might choose $5,000 a month over a 10-month period, or maybe $4,000 a month over a longer period of time, just so if the markets do turn on us, turn downward, you can actually accelerate that to some degree, depending on the level of downturn that we saw.
Right. Well, and, you know, funny enough about that concept, the dollar cost averaging, is there's actually less risk. And people, we've talked about this before, but when you think about being at the bottom, like we were, you know, we found a bottom, at least a short-term bottom, right in March, right in the middle of March, that it's actually less risky to invest then than it is to invest now when it feels good, right? Because it feels good to buy now because the market's screaming, right? We got vaccines coming, the economy's coming back, we're going back, all this other stuff. It's actually a lot more risky because there's less room above you. There's a lot more room below you, right?
Right.
And you got to be careful. Theoretically speaking, yes. I mean, there are extraneous factors. Momentum is one of those things.
Right.
Momentum, like, okay, the vaccine is going to fix everything. We're going to get back to normal. Facebook is going to sell all this online advertising. You know, Microsoft, everybody's going to have six computers at home and needs, right, you know, six more subscriptions to Microsoft software, et cetera, et cetera. And that momentum really carries investments higher than what's called their fair market value. So that momentum is a double-edged sword.
It's FOMO.
FOMO, fear of missing out. Yeah, so fair market value is a double-edged sword where a stock price will shoot upwards past its fair market value. And usually it'll happen on the downside when we experience market volatility downward. The fair market value or the share price will drop well below their fair market value at times too. So that's one thing in volatility to be aware of. But like you were saying, Matt, the FOMO or FOMO,
right,
fear of missing out, that, you know, that's a big driver of today's market, not just momentum, but the fear of missing out. Because, as Bo alluded to earlier, interest rates where they're at, zero interest rate policy. We had that for 8 years. It was a long, long run. Zero interest rate policy. They call it ZIRP, Z-I-R-P. We're back there now. And the Fed has said that we're not going to really think about raising rates until the end of 2023 or longer.
That's what they've said, yeah.
End of 2023, they're not talking about raising the short-term interest rates. So what do you do when you're sitting on that cash? Well, if you're sitting on that cash, you're earning basically squat.
Yeah.
Well, after inflation, you're negative.
Yeah, you're earning squat at the bank. You're earning squat at, you know, in a money market, earning squat in CDs. It's really hard to find really good, you know, places to put that money. And, you know, it's really hard to go and buy in at all-time highs. So what are some ideas, you know, have you thought, you know, some ideas that, you know, you're, when clients come in and ask you, what are you telling them?
Yeah, the first thing I look at is, let's say worst happens tomorrow, second to worst thing happens, I guess. Tomorrow you go into work and they say, I'm sorry, you don't have a job here anymore.
Right.
We want to make sure that you have 1 year of savings on the sidelines that is in things like cat, like the dull, boring, not going to earn very much. You're certainly, with inflation, probably not gaining any ground to inflation, but we want to have a year's worth of cash or low risk investments on the sidelines, bar none.
Sure. Okay.
But after that, you know, it we start tying in risk tolerance and time horizon. If you've got a short amount of time, the level of risk should be lower.
Right.
If you've got a longer time, level of risk should be medium or higher, depending.
Yeah, depending on the roller coaster.
Depending on the goal, depending on the roller coaster you want to ride. And
maybe deploying the, like you said, the dollar cost averaging. Now, I found that personal finance has a lot to do with psychology, human psychology. And so if you were to, let's say, write a check for $100,000 today and put it in the market, and the next day it happens to be down 1% or 2%, versus if you divided that into, let's say, 10 installments you're putting in each month, you know, and then you're only down 2% on $10,000. That makes a big difference. So I think just if you're sitting on cash, it may be a good idea to consider, as Matt said, having a strong foundation and then dipping your toes in a little bit at a time, coming up with a game plan and a strategy.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Absolutely. Because when you look at the historical stock market, you might, if you're looking at a 60 or 70 year chart, it does look kind of just pretty much upward. But if you break that down into like 1 year increments, like just any 1 year at a time, it's spiking and dropping and spiking and dropping. If you're looking at it a 1 year time frame, there's a pretty good chance that on a 12 month installment payment, into or investment into the markets, you're going to catch some pretty good opportunities. They just happen.
Some ups, some downs, and that's what it's called a dollar cost averaging, because you're going to catch the average.
So yeah, you're buying more investments when they're cheaper,
right?
And you're buying less when they're more expensive.
It's really the same concept as 401k investment, right? You get paid every 2 weeks, so a little bit of your paycheck every 2 weeks goes to different investments you've picked, and you know, you don't really think about it. It just kind of happens, hopefully, and that way, you know, you're saving that 15% or more between your match and everything else that you can. So
absolutely. Well, and you know, what I've looked at, you know, from a lot perspective of, if you've got cash sitting on the sidelines, is exploring maybe paying off some debt, right? If you've got a lot of debt that you're paying, you know, 5-6% interest on, either refinancing that debt, mm-hmm. or paying off some of that debt, and exploring, you know, different ways to protect yourself, whether that's, you know, making sure you've got your emergency fund like you talked about.
Absolutely. Paying off debt is key. There's that threshold we talked about a couple, I think either last episode or two episodes prior. I find that threshold to be about 5%.
Sure. Well, yeah, because if you're paying off 5% just to try and get that arbitrage of a different amount of money, you're going to try and earn more in the market. It puts a lot of pressure on you, on your financial advisor, on your investments, mm-hmm. to make sure that you're doing, because, you know, when we talk about a 5% average return, right, that 5% average return doesn't mean it's 5% every year. That it averages over the long term 5%, right? As opposed to if we've got a 5%.
That was important. I would slow it down. I was like, it's not 5% every single year.
Right.
It's 5%. Average return over a longer period of time. So that could be a plus 17,
right.
A minus 6, a plus 3, and all the other numbers that add up to a
5%. Yeah. You're just coming up with those numbers that are just quick math. But the idea being,
I'm the numbers guy.
Yeah. But the idea being, you know, if you're looking at a 5% average return, that first year could be the down 10%. You know, because if you're down 10% and up 20% the next year, you had an average 5% return. But if you had that $100,000, it went down 10%, right? So down 10%. So now you're at $90,000. It goes up 20%. Now you're at $108,000. It's actually 4%, a 4%,
right? 4% average.
Yeah. So, you know, when people.
Simple
interest, right? So when people look at that and say, well, why would I pay off my mortgage? It's only 4.5%. I could earn more than that in the market. You might. But you know what doesn't change? Your mortgage rate. It's still 4.5% every year. So,
and by the way, if you're at 4.5% interest on your mortgage, interest rates are super, super low. We might not ever see interest rates this low in our lifetime. So it's definitely a good idea to think about refinancing if appropriate.
Yeah, could, if you can save some money on interest, for sure. And we can talk about that on another episode too. Yeah, we'll talk about that, because Matt's got some background there, and we'll hopefully get some folks that are professionals in the mortgage industry coming on. But before we get out of here today, I wanted to remind everybody that we will have Taylor Cattell on next week with us. It's going to be a full house as we get Taylor in with us and go over everything. I'm working on, you know, Kevin has been sort of hibernating. The tax animal has been hibernating, but he is coming back on the show as soon as we can make our schedules work, right?
We're going to put him to work March, April. He's going to be so busy, probably January, February, in preparation for tax
season. For the new tax season stuff. But so if you have a question that's been keeping you up at night, make sure to send that in to askbo@pfgwm.com or visit investingsimplifiedradio.com and leave your question there. We're happy to share your question. We don't share any of your personal information, just the question, because if it's been bugging you, I'm certain that it's been bugging somebody else. And I want to leave you here today as we close out the show with just a call to action for you again. If you haven't reviewed your portfolio, if you haven't reviewed your risk tolerance, if you haven't had that professional second opinion, give our office a call. We do that complimentary, no obligation. We'll tell you what we think. We will tell you. We think it's good if you're doing the right thing. We're not here. We're not selling snake oil. We're trying to get that information out there to make sure you have that information for life. So take care of yourselves. Be safe. Be you know, kind to each other. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week. This has been Investing Simplified.
Thank you, everyone. We'll be right back.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified at pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm with offices at 16100 Northwest Cornell, Suite 140, Beaverton, Oregon, 97006, and 7105 Southwest Barnes Street, Suite 175, Portland, Oregon, 97223. You can reach us by calling 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.
Price Financial Group Wealth Management. We do investing simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.